Okay, so let me review what we studied last week. So last week we obtained a crude functional equation. So let me remind you what they are. So pi is a generic cuspidal representation of m a p equals mn are the maximal parabolic subgroups. So pi you write down as a tensor product, and let's say S is the, as Jim talked about this morning, is a finite set of places where pi v and psi v are unramified for v not in S. Then we defined so we have we defined the local coefficients. So we have so we define the local coefficients in this following way. So lambda psi v s pi v. So this was the Virchow functional. So this is a Virchow functional. On this induced representation space. So then this can be written as a C psi V S pi V psi W naught and lambda psi V minus S W naught pi V A S pi V W naught. Okay. So this is the complex function. This we call local coefficients. And with these local coefficients, we have the crude functional equation as follows. Okay, I think Jim this morning he put the S on the top, but I don't know which one is correct. Okay, is that correct? I always put the on the bottom. Okay, anyway. Okay, so this is the crude functional equation. Okay, so next thing we have to do is to define local factors. Okay, so that's the subject of today's lecture. So this will be section 11, local L functions and functional equation. Okay, so we know what the L function looks like in outside S, but we don't know what the L function looks like in the ramified place. So we have to analyze these local coefficients to define local factors. Okay? So we can, of course, we can define local factors randomly, but that's not what we want to do. We have to define the local factors in a canonical way, so it agrees with the local Langlands correspondence. Right? So that's the whole point. It should be canonical. So let me just write here. So section 10 is about the local Langlands correspondence, which I'll skip that. I'll put in the website and the web lecture notes. And it's a summary of local Langlands correspondence. So we have to So we have to always keep in mind that these local factors should be often should be the one defined by local correspondence. But unfortunately, we don't know that at this moment. And so, but we always keep in mind that this should be the same. So section 10, let me just briefly remind you what they are, local, those who have never seen what the local language correspondence is. So let me just make a very brief summary of what they are. Okay. So Jim Cantor talked about the Archimedean places. So I'll skip the Archimedean places. So I'll just talk about non-Archimedean places. Okay. So this is a naive version of local language correspondence. You can make it very more precise. So naive version of local language correspondence is that let phi to be the, so here f is periodic. F is a periodic field. And we can define a Weyl group. So in this case, Weyl group is, so let me define what the Weyl groups are. So, so we have the Galois group, and we can define this canonical surjection, K bar K, where K is O mod P, the residue field. And so we define this this map to be sigma to the sigma, you restrict to the K bar. So it's a canonical surjection. Canonical surjection. And so the Weyl group, so let's denote this map H. And this, for this one, we have a Frobenius element. So this is the finite field, the Galois group of finite fields. So there is a Frobenius element, x tends to x to the q. Here, let's say q is the number of this finite field. This is a Frobenius element. So the definition of Weyl group is, local Weyl group is that this is just the inverse image of, this is the inverse image of, so H inverse of this cyclic group generated by this Frobenius. So this is a cyclic group generated by this Galois group. It's not a whole thing. And the inverse image we call Weyl group. So then we have this exact sequence. 1, I, F, W, F, to Z. 1. So this is an inertial group. So this is the kernel of H. Okay, so this is the Weyl group. Okay, so basically local language correspondence is homomorphism between, okay, so let me write down this. Unlike Archimedean place, this Weyl group is not enough to parameterize, so we have to put something else. So this will be SL to C. The L group, so this is admissible homomorphism. So basically what that means is that if you restrict to the Weyl group, this is a semi-sample, and if you restrict to SL to C, this is a complex representation. Complex representation. Okay, so then the naive version is that then the first phi parameterize a finite set. So let me denote by this. We call L packet. So called L packet of isomorphism classes of irreducible representations of GFV. GF. Okay, so that's GF. Okay. And second, every irreducible admissible representation of GF belongs to this L packet for some phi. And third, the size of this finite set is governed by so-called component group. So the representation in the L packet phi are parameterized by the component group. Groups we denote by CP. So CP is the SC divided by SC 0 and the centralizer of the dual group. Here, SC is the centralizer. So this is the centralizer of image of phi in this, and SP not is the connected component. Okay, so this is a naive version of local Langlands correspondence. Okay, so the point is, what is important for us is that given phi, so this given phi, and we can define an R GLN C. Given a homomorphism, we can define a Artin L function. We can define so-called Artin L function. LS R phi. And the epsilon factor, so let me know, gamma factor. Gamma S psi. So we can define Artin L function and Artin gamma factor. So this is the work of Dalin. You can define any factors canonical way. So this will be epsilon phi okay. So our definition of local factors should resemble like that. And indeed, it is the case for Archimedean places. So which I'm going to write down very briefly. Anyway, so this is true for local Langlands correspondence is now proved for GLN, right, due to Harrison, Taylor, and Henyard. So this is, I mean, there are much more is true. I mean, this is just only part of the story. You can prove much more than that. So let me just look at just one example. So one example of supercuspidal representations. So this is the supercuspidal representation of GL to S. Okay, so according to our local language correspondence, by the way, in GLM case, the centralizer is always connected. So this component group is always trivial. This is always trivial. So in GLM case, all the L packets are singleton. There is only one representation. So for GLM case, you don't have to worry about L packet, but in other groups you do. So supercluster representations are parameterized by, and also one of the local language correspondence is that supercluster representation should be just the representation of the Weyl group. So there is no SL2 factor. So these are parameterized by irreducible or two-dimensional representations of the Weyl group, local Weyl group. So pi is a supercluster. Then this corresponds to representation, irreducible representation of the Weyl group. Okay. And there is one lemma. And, you know, as you can see, the Weyl group is not really easy to deal with. So you want to change this into representation of Galois group. So there's a lemma is that, so here is the short lemma. Lemma is that irreducible representations of this Weyl group are of the form tau tensor with the absolute value of u, where tau is a representation of this Galois group, and the U is C. So just by twisting by just the absolute value, you can make a representation of this Galois group. And so once you do that, then you can apply local global principle, and you can do a lot of things. So this we are going to do in this form. So we just have to classify a two-dimensional representation of this Galois group. So what are the two-dimensional representation of Galois group? So what are two-dimensional representations of this Galois group? Okay, so they are basically, it classifies supercluster representations. And two-dimensional representation of this Galois group is classified according to the projective representation. So they are classified by, so tau is the Galois so then you can look at the projective representation PGL2C. You just take a composition with the PGL to C. Okay. And it's well known that any image of these two-dimensional representations are of the following form. So the image, tau bar, is one of the following forms. So D2N, so it is dihedral group, and A4, S4 and A5. So this we call dihedral and tetrahedral and octahedral, and this is icosahedral. Secret case is not irreducible. Oh, you see, I see. Irreducible. Okay? So, but this thing doesn't show up. This is a non-abelian, a non-solvable. This is non-solvable. So, we know that any finite Galois extension of the periodic group is solvable. So this is shown. Notice that any finite Galois extension of periodic group is solvable. Okay, so that means that these things cannot show up. So only possibilities, these three possibilities. Okay, and this one corresponds to monomial representations. This one comes from quadratic extension. This is a it's called the dihedral type, and it's so called so this is a monomial. So this corresponds to pi will be so called the monomial cuspidal representation, a supercuspidal representation. So it comes from quadratic extension, or sometimes in the literature they call it Payne case. And these two cases, so this doesn't occur. So this icosahedral representation occurs only globally. So that's what Ramamurthy is going to talk about this Thursday, right? Okay, so and these two, in the literature, the supercuspidal representation corresponds to this we call extraordinary supercuspidal representation. So pi we call extraordinary supercuspidal representation. Okay, so the reason I'm mentioning this is later on we have to distinguish, we have to divide into this, you know, to analyze the local components, because in symmetric cube, for example, this two and this two behave differently, so we have to divide in a final analysis. Okay. All right, so, okay, now let's move on to Chapter 11 then. So now our goal is to analyze these local coefficients to get the gamma factor first. So we'll get, so we extract gamma factor first, and then define R factor. Probably, yeah, that's right. Because you can, so it's a solvable, so you can always embed, I mean, you can, if you have a, yeah, this solvability we use in a very crucial way. Yeah, that helps a lot, actually. Okay, so let me explain how to define a gamma factor first. And then L factor is basically, as you can see in this form, L factor is basically the numerator of this gamma factor. Gamma factor will be the rational function. Okay, so this is the idea. So the gamma factor is a rational function. Q to the negative S. Okay? So you have a P to the Q to the negative S and Q to the negative S. So this will be gamma factor will look like this, all right? And we define f function to be just this one, inverse of the numerator. So that's what we are going to do, at least for pi is a temper. So that's what, that's the idea, okay? Anyway, so I don't have to skip many details. So if you are interested in, basically what I'm going to do is basically summary of Fraser and Shahidi's paper. So this is a reference. Reference is a proof of Langlands conjecture on Planck-Cherel measures. Da, da, da. So this is Analysis of Math, Volume 132, 1990, 273, 330. Okay. So now let me explain how to define gamma factor from that local coefficient. Okay, so this local coefficients, I just defined for induced representation from maximal parabolic, but you can define it for arbitrary parabolic subgroups. So I mean, actually we need that in multiplicativity. So let I nu sigma be the induced representation. So right now we'll look at the local field, local situation. The induced representation of where sigma is a representation of MF. So M is not now maximal levy. So then we can define C psi mu sigma W. We can define in the same way. So like mu sigma is C psi mu sigma W lambda psi W nu W sigma A mu sigma W. Okay, so I mean we can just generalize to arbitrary induced representations. Okay, so one proposition is that we know that this Whittaker functional is entire. It's entire. Entire in a new variable. This is a complex variable, and non-vanishing. So it's not identically zero. Okay, so the consequence is that, so proposition. So it's a non-vanishing and entire. That means that this thing, C psi mu sigma W. So this thing, the local coefficients times the intertwining operator is non-vanishing. Has no zeros, let's say. It has no zeros. Okay? So this one we'll use later on. Okay. Now the intertwining operator enjoys co-cycle relation. So recall a co-cycle relation for this intertwining operator. Intertwining operator. I didn't write down the co-cycle relation for arbitrary intertwining operators. I think I wrote down only for principal series. But the general case is the same, basically. I mean, for general case, notation is a kind of mess. So that's why I didn't write down. So let me just write down. Okay. I mean, principal series is kind of, you know, fairly simple. Co-cycle relation is fairly simple. Okay, so let me, I mean, you don't have to worry about the notations, but well, the point is that you can write intertwining operator as a product of rank one intertwining operator. So the whole point is that you can write A mu sigma as a product of rank one intertwining operators. Okay, rank one basically means that intertwining operator attached to maximal parabolic subgroup. Okay, so this rank one means that the one attached to maximal parabolic subgroups. Okay, so I'll write down the statement and then give a just a quick example. Okay, so the proposition, so co-cycle relation is as follows. If W is you can write W as a product of this Val group element, and then this so theta is the subset of simple roots which define the parabolic subgroup. So you can write as a product of the following n intertwining operators. Okay, so as I said, I don't want to explain all the notations. Okay, basically you can write this as a product of n intertwining operators based on this product of Val group elements. So consequence of the local co-cycle relation is that this gives also again co-cycle relation for the local coefficients. So the proposition is the C psi mu sigma theta W is you can write it as a product of local coefficients based on the local okay, so yeah. Yeah, that's right. And then you next one is you just apply the W1 and go on. Yeah. So let me give an example. So let's look at this induced representation. Induced representation from P to SP8 where P is MN, M is GL2 times GL2. Okay, so this is a symplectic group, and now we have this induced representation. The determinant of S pi 1 tensor with determinant of S pi 2. So this is an induced representation from non-maximal parabolic to SPA. Okay. So this pi 1, in this case, so pi 1 tensor pi 2 is our sigma, and nu is S in the root system notation, this will be SC1 plus SC2. So that's the our nu. This is complex parameter. Okay? So this intertwining operator. So in this case, W, the var group element, W is the longest var group element, is C2, 1, 2, and C2. So C2 is the sign change. So C2 sends E2 to minus E2. So basically you sense, you put a minus. And the 1, 2 is the switching 1 and 2. So that's the var group elements. Okay. So this is, you can write this as a product of three var group elements. Okay. So this thing can be written as a product of three rank 1 operator. Okay. So that, so the first one is the operator for this C2. C2 acts on only the last component. Okay. So this last component is the intertwining operator for, it will be S pi 2, S pi 2. That's the last one. So this is the intertwining operator for, this fixes this one. So this is actually intertwining operator for, operator for this Ziegler parabolic, GL2 inside SP4. This is the rank 1 operator. This is a Ziegler parabolic. Okay. Now, second one, now you apply C2 means that you now change to, now if you apply the var group element, C2, then you now change to negative S. And then you have to put the control gradient. Okay. Now, if you apply the second, 1, 2, the intertwining operator for 1, 2 is now intertwining operator for now general GLN. So that they switch these two. Okay. So that means that the intertwining operator is now, if you switch this, so you can think of this as an intertwining operator inside GL4. So this will be 2S pi 1 tensor pi 2. So this is the intertwining operator for GL2 cross GL2 inside GL4. This is a, you get the Rankine-Seilberg L function. Okay? And then now you have to switch this. Now you have to switch this. So then this thing will come this side, and you apply C2, then you get just the S pi 1. Okay, same thing. This is intertwining operator for rank 1 case. Okay? So this is a product of three rank 1 operator.
Those A's are unnormalized
intertwining
operators, I can't remember.
Yeah, A's unnormalized.
What are there are some restrictions on that?
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. This has to be a minimal length decomposition. Okay. So length of, it's a minimal length decomposition. Okay, thanks for pointing out. So this is a minimal length decomposition. So length of W is the length of the sum of the length. Okay, I mean otherwise it doesn't hold. It's not true for unnormalized ones. Okay, anyway, I mean, okay, so this is very technical condition and requires a lot of extra space to explain all the notations. So my the point is that you can always write intertwining operator as a product of rank one operators like this. And so it's enough to prove theorems on intertwining operator for rank one operators, namely the intertwining operator attached to maximal parabolic subgroups. Okay? That's the upshot of that. All right. Okay, and we studied that any representation can be, let me do this way. So let's say P is the maximal parabolic subgroup, and let's say P1 is parabolic subgroup inside this P, and let's say Q to be the M intersection with the P1. Let's say pi is the representation of MF such that pi is the sub-representation . Okay, so suppose we are given a representation of pi maximal levy such that pi is the sub-representation of this induced representation. Then we learned inducing in stages. So by inducing in stages, so this induced representation is sub-representation of this induced representation. Okay, so let A S alpha tilde plus lambda naught and sigma and W naught be the intertwining operator for this one, for this one, this whole thing. Okay, so then since this is an induced representation, our original intertwining operator. So this is the intertwining operator for this one. So this intertwining operator is just the restriction of this intertwining operator on here. So this is restriction to this induced representation. So what does that mean? What does that mean is, if you look at a definition of, I just erased the local coefficients. If you look at a definition, so it's enough to, in order to find the local coefficients, it's enough to look at this intertwining operator. So what that means is that this local coefficients is same as local coefficients coming from this induced intertwining operator. So this is same as S alpha tilde plus lambda naught sigma W naught. So local coefficients considering this intertwining operator is same as local coefficients by considering this intertwining operator. Okay? So we know that any representation can be embedded into induced representation coming from supercuspidals. Okay? So that means that you can take this sigma to be supercuspidal. So that means, and remember that this you can write as a product of rank one guys. So that means it's enough to calculate this local coefficients for supercluster rank one case. Okay, so that's the reduction here. So so let me make a remark. So since any pi can be embedded for sigma as supercluster, we first calculate C psi S pi W naught. So this is rank one guys, okay? This one is the local coefficients attached to supercluster representation and maximal probability. So this is rank one guy. And for pi supercluster, okay, once you calculate that, then everything else just follows from this observation. This one and this proposition that you can write as a product of rank one guys. Okay. So we have to calculate this. Okay, so in order to calculate this, we can first we have to first, okay, we need several propositions, so I think we have time. So first, so this is due to Shahidi, is that suppose F is Archimedean. So at Archimedean places, everything is fine, okay? So Archimedean, then, and the phi be the parametrization of pi. So here pi is a arbitrary one because we have local Langlands correspondence. So pi can be any irreducible representation. Okay, then these local coefficients. Local coefficients is indeed expected one. So this is exactly the product of opt-in gamma factors. So this is so S gamma I phi psi is exactly S pi R I. So this is. Okay, so Archimedean places, local coefficients are expected form. And for non-Archimedean place, we want to prove something like this. Okay. We want to prove that the local coefficients are of this form. Even if we may not be able to prove that this is an ordinary function, we want to prove that this is some sort of gamma factor. So that's what we'll prove. So this is a theorem. So the theorem is that F is a periodic, and let's say rho is pi is psi generic a supercluster representation of MF, then they exist a unique M complex functions gamma S pi R I psi such that C psi S pi W naught is product gamma is pi ri psi. Okay, so this is the main theorem. And we would like to prove that this gamma factor is the Artin gamma factor, but as I said, we don't know that. Okay? I mean, for a very special case, we know that, but anyway, that's the next step, actually. I mean, so, okay, so let me make a remark. So the remark is that if phi is the parametrization, parametrization of pi according to local Langer's correspondence, then it is expected that gamma s pi ri psi is s ri phi psi. Okay, that's the expectation, but not proved in general. Okay, so this, what? There exists some complex function that it satisfies this. Okay, so if you are bothered, then let's not worry about uniqueness. Okay. Yeah, the factorization is unique. And basically, for example, if m equals 1, for example, if there is only one factor, that's gamma is just the local coefficients. So, okay. So we'll use induction, basically. Okay, so I'll write down the induction hypothesis. So we need the two propositions, okay? So we use proof. So we use induction on M. So if M equals 1, it's clear. You just take gamma factor to be just the local coefficient. Okay. Okay. So. Okay. Suppose the proposition is true. The proposition is true for m prime less than m. M prime less than m. Okay. So now we recall the following two propositions. So we'll use the following two propositions. So, proposition 1 is that No, we want our gamma factor to be the factorization of the C, the local. M equals 1 is the gamma factor is just the local coefficient.
Is that the definition of gamma factor?
Yeah, that's the definition of gamma factor.
So there has to be a pattern.
I mean, the SIP size are. Okay, so let's look at the two propositions. So one proposition is that if you look at any supercomputer, you can always embed into global cuspidal automorphic representation. So let me write. So suppose F is periodic and rho is, so I'm changing to rho because I want to use pi for global cuspidal representation. Psi generic supercuspidal representation of M F, then there exists a number field K such that the completion at V is F. And globally generic cuspidal automorphic representation pi w of ma such that pi v is rho and pi w is spherical for w is not in v and w is finite. Okay, so whenever you have a supercuspidal, you can always embed into globally generic cuspidal representation where every finite place is very nice, so spherical. Yeah. I mean, if you, the point is that you need to globally generic in order to apply this machinery. So that's the difficult part. Spherical means unramified. It comes from a principle series. It's very nice, you know, it's a Satake parameter basically. And the proportion two, I wrote down this proportion two earlier, so let me just write down again. So this is just an induction hypothesis. So for each I greater than two, there exists a split reductive group, GI, and a maximal parabolic subgroup PI equals MI NI and a cuspidal representation pi prime of MI A such that this partial R function, the of I's partial R function of pi is same as the first R function of some other group where R prime is Rj prime, J equals M prime, M prime is less than M. Yeah? Yeah. So there exists a cluster representation such that this ith L function is same as the first L function or some other group. So for example, if you look at GLN inside SP 2N, you have a pi here, okay? And if you look at Eisenstein series, you will have a two L functions. One is standard L function, and second is extra square L function. So what the theorem is saying is that this extra square L function should occur as the first L function on some other group. And it is the case. This shows up. This occurs as a GLN inside even orthogonal group. So this will be a G2 in this case. And this will be just M2. M2 is the same. I mean, if you don't want to look at, I mean, this proposal you can prove in an abstract way, but if you want to do that, then you look at all the list. I gave you the list. And if you look at the list, you can check one by one. And it is. And if you check the list, pi prime is just, it's no different from pi. You just twist by some characters. So pi prime is roughly the same as pi, except you twist by some character. And the MI is just roughly the same. Basically, the derived groups are the same. Okay, so the point is that ith L function always shows up as the first L function. Okay? So, for example, whenever you have two factors, the second factor is already shows up as the only L function on some other group. So, and moreover, you can take if a pi v is spherical, and pi v prime, you can take pi v prime spherical. Okay, so now we know what to do, right? Now we know what to do. So we start with a supercluster representation, and we look at the globally generic cluster representation, okay? And then we apply this induction, and now we have the definition of, so let me write down. So we define for each I S pi Ri psi this to be that using that relation, so you get gamma pi V prime R1 prime psi. Okay, Okay, my notation is mixed up, but I should have started with the rho. Because I'm mixing local and global. Okay, rho. Okay, so I should have said the rho here. Rho. No, not done yet. So we define the R gamma factor to be the first gamma factor. We already know the definition. We define this. And then using this, we can define this. Okay, then we define the first one. We define the first one to satisfy that equation, namely, you just divide by every gamma. So you define to be okay, you define then clearly that we have that the formula there. Okay. Yeah? Is that okay, yeah, this is the proof of the theorem. Yeah. Proof of this theorem. Yeah. Proposition 2 is the global statement.
Okay, so that's true globally, and 1 lets you apply that.
But because every other place except V is, we know what the local coefficients and local factors look like. Okay?
Well, I have another question.
Yeah?
Do you have to worry about, so let's go back to the case where M is equal.
Yeah.
Do you have to worry about, so then you're looking at gamma of S rho R1 psi.
Yeah.
Do you have to worry about R1 occurring for two different inductions from two different groups? See what I'm saying? The left hand side is where it comes from the intertwining operator
of
a particular representation.
Yes.
Of a particular group. The right hand side is. Should be
independent. No,
independent
of R1. No.
You get the same R from two different groups.
Mm-hmm.
So is that the issue or not? Or you may not have thought about it, so it may not.
I mean, it is the case. I mean, for example, this one should comes from both this situation and also GLN.
Okay, so
this.
So sometimes
this,
the M equals one case, you have to make sure that those give you the same.
Okay. Okay, let me think about it. Okay, so I want to finish the definition of local factors. All right. Okay, so we define the existence of the gamma factors. So for supercluster representations, we have the definition here. Okay. For now, general representations, we use, we use that, the product formula there. So we embed any representation in this representation from supercluster representation. Okay? And then we use that product formula. So we have, so for pi general, for a general pi, we have pi is induced. Okay, I'm not going to repeat that. So then we see psi s pi w naught. Psi S alpha tilde plus lambda naught rho W naught. So we use that. This is a product of rank 1 sif psi. Okay. Rank 1 sif psi means that the one attached to a supercluster representation exactly in our situation. So we can define this. And once you define this, then we can define gamma factors again. And so you have to analyze further. And this is called multiplicativity. Multiplicativity. of gamma factors. And the statement is quite long, so I will just I'm not going to write all the statements. Okay? Basically, point is that once you define these gamma factors, the gamma factors again you can write these gamma factors as a product of rank one gamma factors. So that's the whole point. So if a pi is this, like this, so pi is Q M sigma okay, so then the gamma factors you can write as a product. I mean, there are lots of notations I have to worry about, so I'm not going to write that. So let me just write this way. So you can, let me just write down the theorem, and then without explaining what they are. Okay, so the point is that any gamma factor, you can write down as a rank one gamma factor. So this is a rank one gamma factor. Basically, the one attached to supercluster representations. Okay? So anyway, I'm not explaining what they are. So actually, what? Okay. So let me just give an example. Okay. Let me give an example. Because if I try to explain all the notations, it just takes time. So let me just explain using an example. Okay, so let's say pi is the generalized Steinberg representation. So in other words, what that means is it's a unique sub-representation of the following induced representation, determinant of P1 minus rho, determinant of P1 minus half minus 1 rho, determinant of minus P1 rho. Here rho is a supercluster representation, GLK. Okay, so it's from GLK times GLK to GLKP. GLKP. So you know the sequence there. So this has a unique sub representation. Okay. So then the I S pi tensor with rho tilde. So if you look at this induced representation, so this is a sub representation. And if you want, you can just look at, okay, so let's look at just, okay, let me just leave it this way. So P, you subtract 1. So this will be P. This is a P terms. So this is the sub-representation of the following induced representation. S half plus P minus 1 half rho S half P minus 1 half minus 1 rho S half minus P minus 1 half rho tensor with determinant minus half rho tilde. Okay, so this is a P, and then we add this part. So this is the sub-representation of that. Okay, so the, what is the gamma factor here? So the gamma factor attached to this induced representation. Yeah. And by multiplicativity, we should be able to write as a rank one gamma factor. So this will be the product basically the product of Rankine-Selberg gamma factor, rho and rho tilde. Rho tilde is the control gradient. Huh? Because I mean usually we write S pi 1 and pi 2, our usual custom of induced representation of GLN called GLM, usually means induced representation of determinant of S half pi 1 S pi 2. Of course you can put different things, okay? You just if you subtract you should get S. Well, I mean, as long as its difference is S, it doesn't matter. Because all you have to do is we have to subtract this. You have to subtract this, and we have to subtract this, and subtract this. So the intertwining operator for this one will be the product of intertwining operator for this one and this one, this one and this one, and this one and this one. The product of P intertwining operator. So you get the product of P gamma factors. So this is the rank one gamma factors. What? No, you should get same. Okay, I'll try to finish. Okay, so the theorem, so once you define these gamma factors, so it's the properties of gamma factors. So then now we get, the functional equation. So that the local coefficients is the product of the gamma factors. So then by induction, then we get almost functional equation. So it's a generic cuspidal representation. Then we get this functional equation. And if sigma is, so this is 1 and 2 is, if sigma is a psi generic local ones, irreducible, admissible representation of MF, F is local, then the gamma factor satisfies this functional equation. And so number one, I think I did that already. So this comes from the induction on M, okay? And number two, you apply the functional equation twice. So if you apply the functional equation, No, you first prove this for supercluster representation, and then the other one just you use the multiplicativity of gamma, then you get that. So for supercluster sigma, you apply functional equation twice. You apply functional equation twice, you get this. Okay, I'll skip that. All right, so now, so this is almost functional equation. It's not yet. And we have to define L factor. Okay, so that's what I'm going to do. So the definition of L factor. We have a gamma function. Now we L factor. Now we have to divide into two cases. Case one, pi, we first have to define for pi being tempered. So it's a tempered. Tempered and generic. We are always assuming that it's generic. Okay, so we define this. This is a rational function. Q to the negative s. Okay, so I didn't prove it's a rational function, but we can prove that it's a rational function by first observing that the local coefficients are rational functions. Okay, anyway, I didn't prove that, but it's a rational function. So rational function means that, so let P, sigma I T be the unique polynomial satisfying P sigma I 0 is 1, such that P sigma I Q minus S is the numerator of gamma. I have sigma here. Okay, so we look at the numerator with the constant term 1. Okay. So we look at the polynomial, and that will be the L function. So we define LS sigma RI to be the inverse of that. Okay. So once you define that, then it's easy to show that the contragradient Ri is basically the contragradient of sigma Q inverse. Okay. And now because of this functional equation, so since gamma S sigma Ri psi 1 minus S sigma Ri tilde psi bar equals 1. Because of that functional equation, so if you, we can check easily that because of this functional equation, this becomes a monomial. So this is a monomial. All right, I'll finish on time. So monomial in Q to the negative S. So So that will be our epsilon factor. So we denote by, which we denote by. By epsilon. So we have the following. So we have the following formula. Okay, so this looks familiar to you, the Jim talked about this morning. So for Rankine-Seiberg L function, this is exactly what you talked about. Okay, so this is the definition of L factor. It's uniquely determined. And so this is a conjecture. So this is a conjecture of Shahidi. The conjecture is that if you define this way, that f function should satisfy some canonical properties. So one of the canonical properties that there has to be, has no pole for real s bigger than, so if sigma is tempered and generic, then this is holomorphic for real s bigger than zero. So this is a conjecture which Mari Asghari and I have done some work. Okay, so this is almost proved. So the theorem is that this is true. Many cases except the following four cases. So this is true except four cases. So four cases, let me write down. So E7-3, so this is the notation I is in the list. E8-3, E8-4, and D7 inside E8. Okay. So these four cases have the Levy subgroups of type, the spin groups and type E6. So in that case, we don't know the description of discrete series. So the main obstacle is the description of discrete series.
So you mean
except possibly, okay. All right. Okay, I'm almost done. Okay, so. Alright, so now for non-tempered, so the case two, sigma non-tempered and generic. So for non-tempered, now we write as a Langlands quotient. So we write sigma, so Langlands, either Langlands quotient or Langlands sub-representation, either way is fine. So let me write down as a Langlands sub-representation. So here rho is tempered. So any non-tempered representation can be written as a sub-representation from tempered. Okay. So that's the Langlands classification. Okay, so then this induced representation will be induced from okay, so then by multiplicativity of gamma factors, so this is a product. This is a product of rank 1 gamma factor for rho. Okay, so we use the multiplicativity of gamma factors. So you write down as a product of rank 1 gamma factors. And so, and this is the rank gamma factors for rho. This is the gamma factors for tempered representation. Okay? So we have a definition of L factors for each one. And then you just make a, multiply that. So we define. Oh, sorry. Yeah, thank you. Sigma. So we define this, this as a product, to be the product rank 1 L functions for each gamma factor. And define epsilon to satisfy this relationship. Okay, all right. I'll just look at one example and then I'll finish that. Okay, so give me just 2 minutes. Okay, so example is, let's look at sigma is mu determinant. So this is a representation of GL2F. Of course, this is not generic, so, okay, so it's not generic, but I'm just giving you an idea. So mu is a unramified character. Okay, so then the sigma is a quotient of this induced representation, mu 1 half, mu negative 1 half. Of course, if you switch this, then you can make it a sub, it doesn't matter. So then I S sigma is a quotient of this induced representation. So this will be induced pi sigma determinant of S half, determinant of, not determinant, but negative S half. So this will be mu S half plus 1 half, mu S half minus 1 half, minus S half. So gamma S sigma psi, so this is the gamma factor for this, and so this will be the, according to our multiplicativity of gamma factors, this is a product of two gamma factors, S plus 1 half, mu, psi, S minus 1 half, mu, psi. So this, you get this, two. So the product of two gamma factors. So the L function, so we get the L function for each one. So L function for this one, the numerator is exactly LS plus 1 half mu. And for this one is S minus 1 half mu. So that's the L function. Okay, so this is the L function for this representation. But now there is the other component of that, that is called Steinberg. So if a pi is a Steinberg, so namely unique sub representation, okay? So then the gamma factor will be the same. Gamma factor same. So then the gamma factor is the same. But then there's a cancellation there. The numerator and denominator cancels. Okay, so I'll leave that as an exercise. So there's a cancellation here. Okay, so then the L factor, the L factor of the Steinberg is just S plus 1/2 mu. So the L factors of Steinberg and this one-dimensional representation are different. Okay, the reason is if you look at the definition of the tempered representation, you have to look at the cancellation. There's a numerator here and a denominator here cancels. Okay, I'll leave that as an exercise.